Good morning, sisters and brothers, saints and sinners, children of God. Now, I like imagining what it must have been to hear the words of Jesus as he spoke, sending me out on this mission into the world. Now, as a member of these 72 that he sent out, and I'll tell you that our translation here, which comes from the New Revised Standard Version, was written in the 60s and 70s, and there's been quite a bit of scholarship done since the 60s and 70s. And current agreement is that the number in the original number in the Greek text was not 70, but 72. Now, that might mean something to some people or not. It's a difference of two people, but the number 72 has certain mystical meanings, as does the number 70. So it might, you know, be six of one, half a dozen of another, plus one. Right, maybe a baker's dozen here. Anyway, as a member of the 72 that Jesus sent out on my way, I'm not one of the 12 apostles. Now, these are other followers that were following Jesus, because there were quite a few people, not just these 12 that we know by name, but many others, most of whom we don't know by name. The men and women who are now following Jesus, who he's given this authority to heal people and cast out demons. And listening to his instructions, wow, this is a glorious thing that he's asking us to do, but it's certainly not one that we do with any small amount of anxiety. In fact, it's kind of frightening based on the words he has as he's sending us out. Me and my fellow disciples like lambs in the midst of wolves. What do wolves do with lambs? That doesn't sound like there's going to be this great success rate based on that. And then to go out with nothing on us, nothing. To carry no purse, that means that I don't have any money. No bag, which means that I don't have a spare set of clothes. No food. And not even a spare set of sandals. And I have to wonder about this translation because he says, carry no sandals. So I'm hoping he's letting me have some on my feet as I'm walking around. I don't know. It might be, some people might interpret this to mean that he's sending us out barefoot. But I'm hoping that it's just a matter of not a spare set in case mine do get worn down. And worn down they will get with all the walking that I'm going to be doing. Because I assure you, if he doesn't let us have purses or bags or spare sets of sandals, then he's certainly not going to let us have a donkey or a camel to ride as we're going from town to town. But then he asks us to rely on the kindness of strangers, hoping that there will be homes that are going to accept us into them in order that we may eat, in order that we may sleep on a bed or even straw inside. And granted, in those days, this was the expected hospitality that one would receive, at least in Jewish culture. But there's no guarantee that people are following to these rules, these strange people, followers of Christ that are showing up in our town. And B, not all these people were going to Jewish towns. This hospitality was by no means guaranteed or a sure thing. And so we're sent out alone in the world, like lambs with no food to carry and nothing to pay for it, to do God's work with these meager tools. And somehow, some way, our 70 or 72 return filled with the joy that one has when having accomplished this good work that God called them to. Great joy to have been accomplished, able to accomplish these things that Jesus has asked us to do, having nothing, brought nothing out with us but our words. Now, it isn't easy for us, sisters and brothers, here in the 21st century, to not be self-sufficient. Somehow, over the years, our society has become a place where it has become more valuable for people to be completely and entirely on their own. That the measure of success that one has is the work that you put forward with your name on it that you get full credit for. That people who seek credit do so for accomplishments done by them without the help of any others, or at the very least, that you're in charge of a team and you get to put your name on it because they're following your instructions. And the work of people is measured by what they can put on a resume. And I've seen many resumes that go on for pages and pages. And so asking for help, being in a position where we have to ask for help, can carry a stigma of shame. We're discouraged from helping as self-sufficient nuclear individuals because we believe as a society that when we give to people seeking handouts, they're just going to keep coming back and asking for more handouts. And what will they learn then? And so when those of us who have derived our own self-worth from being self-sufficient, and we've reached this point in our lives where we've accomplished things, what happens when we arrive at a place where we need help and are afraid to ask for it? Now, it's obvious from this passage. And I said that Jesus sent these people out alone in the world, but they were not alone in the world. He sent them out in pairs, for one thing. And he sent them out in a large group of 72. So whatever any one or two people were doing, there were 70 others somewhere else doing the same things that they were doing. They were doing the work in tandem. And not only that, but they had the authority from God and the presence of the Holy Spirit to carry them, to carry the mission that God had given them. And it's not a mission that they were taking for their own personal spiritual glory that they could take credit for. But it was one that was done at the Lord's command in order to share the good news of the coming kingdom of God. We don't call this the mission of the disciples. We don't call this the mission of the 72. We still call this God's mission. And when we, sisters and brothers, are called by God to become doers of his mission, we have to stop turning to each other and asking each other, what is our mission? When we are seeking to do the work of God and trying to determine what that work is, trying to figure out what God is asking us to do, the more accurate question is, what is the mission that the Lord is calling us to do? How is God equipping us for that mission, and how is God sending us out to be a part of that mission? What is the gifts that God gives us to do our mission? What are the assets that God has around us to do the mission that God is asking us to do that we're still trying to figure out? And where is God sending us out to do that mission? What? And so the ultimate question here is not what is our mission, but what is God's mission? And if the very core of this mission if you're not looking at the very center of what the mission that God is asking you to do, if that very core isn't love the Lord with all your heart and all your soul and all your strength and all your might, and love your neighbor as yourself, if that's not the core of the mission, then you need to go back and re-examine what it is that you think the mission is. And then you take a look at that and figure out what success might look like. Success, that's a different standard that God has than what we have. It should be obvious that the works that the disciples were doing based on the words of Jesus, that some houses were not necessarily going to return the peace that people were going to give, and that some towns were not going to be welcoming to these disciples, and that sometimes the mission is not always going to have this affirmative reaction. Some people are going to be downright negative. Some people are going to be wolves to the lambs and want to devour. They're going to reject the mission of God. But the fact is that since it's not our mission, we don't have our egos all wrapped up in it. And so we don't have to be wounded when people refuse to hear what we have to say. It should remind us that we are nevertheless still being called to it. We should not judge the efficacy of the mission based on whether or not it has some sort of quantifiable success. That's where all these metrics that some people like to do when doing church work just seem to fail. Because I know that when I'm going out and I'm speaking and I'm doing and I'm being what Christ has called me to do, not everybody's going to come running towards me. And that's okay. What is to say that the work that we do that seems to be rejected doesn't pave the way forward for the next person that comes along and to be accepted? I've done God's work. My responsibility is done. The Spirit will work as the Spirit works. We also have to remember that this is the Lord's mission and not ours. And remember the old adage. I love this. And I say it, and maybe I don't say it often enough, because if I don't say it often enough, you know, sometimes I completely forget. But I've heard it said over and over again, if you want to make God laugh, make plans. If you want to make God laugh, make plans. The mission we do for the benefit of declaring the kingdom of God is, once again, not our mission. And it can take us into all sorts of different places. What started out as a small spaghetti dinner has turned out to be feeding of over 100 people on Wednesday night, plus the invitation of another meal four other nights a week. And even though we're not the kind of church that proselytizes to those who need to be fed, because we don't require people to attend service to eat here or stay here when the shelters open, we are nevertheless witnesses to the love of God that God has poured out to us by virtue of the life, death, and resurrection of his loving Son, in which he has gifted us this grace that surpasses all understanding, the freedom from sin, the devil, and the power of the grave. It's this, that same gift that empowers us through faith to do the good deeds that we do in his name. The gift of faith by his grace, that sends the Holy Spirit into us, that we are not only compelled to do good work, but we are impelled to do it. The work we do in the world that can only become, that is only accomplished because we have been set free. We don't bring people food for our promotion. We don't bring people food for our glory. We don't bring people food so we can walk around saying, hey, we bring people food. We don't provide shelter so that we can say, hey, this is the church that provides shelter. That joy is derived from being a part of Jesus' mission here on earth and in God's kingdom. The joy that comes from it is a benefit, indeed, both for us and for those that are the recipients of the fruits of our labor. The goal is that we are the means of production that this fruits is provided. Because we are filled with the Holy Spirit of God, we cannot help but share that love. Because that Spirit fills us up inside, the love that we have for one another pours out from us. It is in doing the good work of God and sharing the kingdom that is near that the wondrous love bubbles up from within. Look around, sisters and brothers. There might not be 70 or 72 people in this room right now. But the mission that we do for this whole church, for the wider church, the Church of Jesus, we're doing in the community, we are never alone. And whether we are, 15, 16 people here today? It's July 4th weekend. Or 70 people that are actually active leaders in the programs and the other groups that take place in this building. We're nevertheless one great family, and we nevertheless do work with each other in tandem with one another. We struggle together. We pull each other's weights. We enrich one another. We carry the good news forward together. No one is an island. And, well, this is the kind of wisdom and advice that I can give to myself once in a while. As I have a tendency from suffering from pastoritis, the idea that I am formally and solely responsible for the well-being of everyone and everything at this parish. It's good advice that I can give myself that I remember that we are driven in this mission together. This going out and feeding the masses, not just with food, but with the Holy Spirit. Gifted as we are with the nourishment that we derive and receive in word and meal when we are gathered together. So the good news, my sisters and brothers, is that God loves us. The good news is that the kingdom is near and awaiting us. And the good news of God nourishes us and equips us to carry his mission into the world. Sharing it together in community and abroad that we may grow the body of Christ and spread God's peace to our friends, to our neighbors, to strangers, and throughout the world. Amen.